3-2 the second. Good. Now, where does this lust stay? Because it has been called Mahashano, the great enemy. Where is it situated? Because when you're fighting an enemy, first you have to recognize it's an enemy. And then you have to know where it is situated to attack it and to build big walls and protect yourself from this enemy. So now Krishna is going to say where lust is situated. The senses, the mind, and the intelligence are the sitting places of this lust. And through them, lust covers the real knowledge of the living entity and bewilders him. That means that our nature is full is knowledge, as Krishna is full of knowledge, Mamayavangso Jivaloke, Jiva Bhuta Sanatana, that we are his Angsa, we also have knowledge, but that knowledge is covered. This was described before, how our knowledge becomes covered. So even an intelligent person, even if you know philosophy, if the consciousness becomes lusty, it will cover everything. It covers us, the soul, and bewilders us. So it sits, know the enemy. It sits in the senses, the mind, and the intelligence. Prabhupada explains, the enemy has captured different strategic positions in the body of the conditioned soul. And therefore Lord Krishna is giving hints of how those is giving hints of those places so that one who wants to conquer the enemy may know where he can be found. So how to conquer the enemy, where to start the battle? Should we start with the senses? Should we start with the mind? Or should we start with the intelligence? And the instruction is given by Krishna in the next verse. Therefore, O Arjuna, best of the Bharatas, in the very beginning, when we say in the very beginning, it means that in the beginning, and it should be continued after that. From the beginning, curb this great enemy, symbol of sin, lust. How? By regulating the senses. Not by giving in to the desires for sense gratification and letting the senses engage in sense gratification. Why? Because it burns like fire, consumes unlimited fuel. By regulating the senses, because sometimes we think it's hard to control the senses, and it is hard to control the senses because we've been trained improperly from birth. But if it is hard to control the senses, it's a billion times harder to control the mind. So start with the grossest, most easy to control one. The mind, Arjuna will say later, is about as easy to control as the wind. How will you control the wind? With force? Would it go out with a stick? With a net used to catch butterflies? What will you do? Nuclear weapons to control the wind? So to control the mind is so difficult, and at least the senses with some force, physical force, or intellectual or mental force, they can be controlled. So Krishna is saying that this is the easiest way to start, and therefore we must start with controlling the senses. So regulate the senses and slay this destroyer of knowledge and self-realization. And we should not doubt that lust is like that. We have seen it in our own lives, we have seen it in the lives of others. So we have to, and Krishna is going to explain this in the last verse, that one has to, through study of books like Bhagavad Gita, through just examining the world, he has to use his intelligence to understand that I do not want to enjoy my senses, even though the push of the senses may be there, and the senses may be demanding it. No, I don't want to do it. This is intelligence. And if we don't make this decision, I don't want to enjoy my senses, I want to serve Krishna. If we don't make this decision, then no one can help us. There's a famous story how when Prabhupada was in, was at Tittenhurst Park, when Prabhupada first came to England in 1969, he was staying at the house of John Lennon. And George Harrison and John Lennon and Mrs. Yoko were there talking to Prabhupada. And Yoko and John asked Prabhupada, you chant Hare Krishna, don't you have any other mantras that you chant also? And Prabhupada said, yes, we have so many. What is one mantra? And Prabhupada chanted a sloka from Prahlad Maharaj. Matirna Krishna Paratakshvatova Mityo Vipajeta Griha Vatanam Andanta Gobhya Vishatata Mizram Purnas Purnas Charvita Charvananam. There are how many slokas in the Bhagavatam? 18,000, is it? There are so many slokas in the Bhagavatam. In the Vedic literatures, there are lakhs of slokas, and Prabhupada picked this one to tell Bhakta John and Yoko. And this verse says that attraction to Krishna, the tendency to think of Krishna, matir na Krishne, it will not come to one. It cannot come to one if someone talks to you and tells you it should be there, or if a group of people come and talk to you and tell you it should be there, or preach to you or anything. As long as you have grihata vrat, if you have the desire to enjoy this world, you cannot get attachment to Krishna. Andanta gobhya vishatata, and they will drag you to hell as you are trying again and again to enjoy what is not possible to enjoy. In China, when in the West, there's no sugar cane often, or usually in places, the sugar cane. In India, there's sugar cane. But in China, they have there's sugar cane, and when you eat it, the part that you spit out has such a great name in Chinese. It is called Jia. So that Jia, just after it is chewed and all the juice sucked out and is spit out, and then you are hungry for some sugar cane, and you pick up that jar and you try to eat it, you will not be very satisfied. Or the contemporary example is that when someone chews their chewing gum and then sticks it on the somewhere, and then you say, oh, chewing gum, and you eat it. There's no question of getting satisfaction in that way. Just Andanta gobhya, driven by the uncontrolled senses towards hell. That's what the result is. But never matir na Krishna. So we have to make our decisions in life. No one can force us. And sometimes we make a decision one way, and then a few years later, many years later, we have second thoughts and things like that. And we all have our reasons why we're not satisfied. So actually, one of the commentators on the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada doesn't mention it. He mentions, I think it's Baladeva Vidyabhusan, he mentions that this verse, this section, is an expansion of the one verse in the second chapter, which is the contents of the Gita summarized, Vishya Vinivartante, Nirarasya Deina, Rasavarjam, Rasopyasya Param Visvinivartate. That you can only restrict the senses from desiring sense objects if you have param drisva navartate, if you have the higher taste. So this is actually Krishna's instruction here. That the higher taste, we must get that. It is urgent. It is a matter of life and death. It is a matter of our own life and death. But at least we must get our intelligence fixed through study of Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita is written on the intellectual platform, Because the intelligence is the best thing a human being has. So we should get our intelligence fixed as what we should do, as to what we shouldn't do, why we should do it, why we shouldn't do this, what is to be gained by doing the wrong thing, what is to be gained by doing the right thing. And we have to make decisions about what we want to do with our life. And at the same time, we should be begging the deities, the holy name, please give me one drop. And even we were reading this morning how Bhaktivinoda is chanting, Eka kiyama nahi pai bolo harinam. I don't have the strength to carry on alone this nam sankirtan. So please, give me one drop of your mercy. Just one drop, that's all I'm asking. Because actually a drop of the mercy of a Vaishnava is a drop of the mercy of Krishna. And that one drop is enough to inundate and drown the entire world in Krishna consciousness. So therefore, Krishna says, gives us some hints how to continue. The working senses are superior to dull matter. In other words, the senses are superior to the body, because the body is composed of senses. Mind is higher than the senses, and higher than the senses is the mind, and intelligence is still higher. And he, the soul, is even higher than the intelligence. So this is the order that we should live our life. Listening to the super soul, or the spiritual master, or the shastra, which will be the best thing from the point of view of the soul. The soul's priorities have to become the first in our life, and that should continue. Those priorities should be fixed by means of intelligence, which is the next door neighbor of the super soul. But our life should become fixed as to what we should do and what we shouldn't do, and the priorities of us, the soul, should be fixed by means of intelligence. That means that we have to study Shastra in the association of devotees and get our intelligence fixed to be able to discriminate what should be done and what shouldn't be done. And then, by the strength of that intelligence, control the mind. And then by the strength of the mind, control the senses. And then the body will be under control. Therefore, Krishna concludes this chapter by saying, Evam Bude Param Budva. I find myself quoting this verse so many times. Evam Bude Param Budva. Knowing oneself transcendental. Samstabhyatmatmanatmana. We should fix ourself in what we should do by the means of strong, fixed up Krishna conscious intelligence. Sometimes the devotees think that all we need is working for Krishna, any kind of work, whether it's preaching or book distribution or farming or any kind of work, just work for Krishna, work for Krishna. And that will bring, and then one day Krishna will benedict us with perfection. Maybe because he feels sorry for us or something. But actually, that's not our philosophy. The philosophy is not that we should try for Kripa Siddha. We should try for Sadhana Siddha. We should cultivate Krishna consciousness through hearing and chanting and serving and working hard for Krishna. But without hearing and chanting, this is the water. Ihan mali nityas seche shravanadi jal. But this is the water that will make our kripa grow. And if we neglect the water, the kripa will die. And Prabhupada once told me, if you do not hear, read, hear, then what will be your kirtanam? What will be your preaching? So this hearing is essential to fix our intelligence, and it purifies us directly by Krishna's grace. But to fix our intelligence as to what should be done and what shouldn't be done, and develop conviction, which is what samstab yatmatmanatmana. This is what's necessary. Evam bude param budva, by the use of strong, steady, fixed up Krishna conscious intelligence, jahi shatram, conquer the enemy, mahabaho, O mighty armed. So you are all mighty armed, or meant to become very mighty armed, and conquer this enemy. And what is that enemy? It is kama rupa darasadami. Darasadami means formidable. Kama rupa, it is this form of lust. This is the enemy. Mahashano mahapapma. Here's Krishna's recommendation. Fix your intelligence. Get it strong. Krishna benedicts one in the end of Bhagavad Gita by saying that he who studies this sacred conversation worships me with his intelligence. So by worshipping one Krishna with their intelligence becomes strong, purified, and then becomes fixed. Thus knowing oneself to be transcendental to the material senses, mind, and intelligence, O mighty Armed Arjuna, one should steady the mind by deliberate spiritual strength, Krishna consciousness, fixed intelligence, and thus, by spiritual strength, conquer this insatiable enemy known as lust. Now, I just wanted to read one wonderful verse by Raghunath Das Goswami from Manasiksha, where he compares lust to a highwayman, some dacoits, daku, thieves. Because it has taken us many lives to come to the point of consciously desiring to become servants of Krishna. And it wasn't easy to acquire this position. This is our great wealth, this desire that we have to become devotees. This is the real wealth of the living entity. And suddenly, as we are walking down the road with our real wealth, trying to accumulate a little more, some highwaymen come. And this highwayman, or thieves, is lust. And this highwayman tries to steal everything away from us. By how? By giving us other desires. And Prabhupada once told me, to come to Krishna consciousness, one who comes to Krishna consciousness is fortunate, and one who doesn't come to Krishna consciousness is unfortunate. But one who comes and goes is most unfortunate. So this highwayman, lust, comes to try to steal away the wealth that we have accumulated over many, 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 many births. So here is what Raghunath Das Goswami says. Asi chista kasta pravikata prasali biriha prakamam gamadi prakata patapati vyatikarai gale badvahanyam iti bhakabi vadmapagane kurutvam utkaram avatisa yatatvam maniya ita. The highwayman lust and his friends have bound me at the neck with the painful ropes of wicked deeds. O mind, please scream, O Krishna, O killer of Baka, I will be killed by highwaymen. Do that, and he will save me. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, whose blessed appearance day is today. Now here's another translation of that verse. My dear mind, in this material life you are attacked by lust, which is like a gang of thugs that waylay innocent pilgrims, strangling you with strong, terrible ropes in the form of distress, pain, and futile endeavors. This is what happens, the result of when the mind becomes full of lust. In this condition, you must cry out piteously and invoke the mercy of the unalloyed devotees of Sri Krishna, the killer of this demon, Bakasura. They will surely protect you from this dilemma. So when the thieves come, when the highwaymen come, we have to They try to intimidate us. Don't scream. But the first thing you have to do is scream, police, police, police. And they become frightened and run away. So similarly, when the consciousness becomes lusty, and it happens, we have to scream out piteously. That means when the thieves are there and saying, give me everything that you have, you become terrified. So similarly, and we need shelter, you need someone to protect you so desperately. So similarly, we have to, in that same mood, out of fear of losing our most prized possession, call out piteously and loudly the names of Krishna and the exalted devotees like Srila Prabhupada. And then this rascal thief of lust will flee quickly, immediately away. Because Krishna Surya Sam Maya Haya Andhakar. When the sun arises, the darkness goes. So in the face of Krishna and his devotees, the shadow cannot be there. The darkness cannot be there. But the problem is, when the lust attacks the mind, we like it. And we want to cultivate those feelings and those desires. So therefore the intelligence must be on guard. The intelligence is compared to the guard. The mind is the repository of desire, and the intelligence guards what goes into the mind on that. And if the guards, the security guards, become corrupt, then what is the hope? So when the intelligence becomes a sitting place of lust, what is the hope for our Krishna consciousness that will make up so many excuses and reasons? But if our intelligence becomes fixed and purified by the Bhagavad Gita, samstab yap manapmana, and discriminates based on the Bhagavad Gita, evam bude parambhuva samstabhyatmatmanatmana, then it will immediately sound the alarm, and then we call out Krishna, Krishna Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktivinoda, but loudly with full feeling and fear, and then immediately we will be protected. This is the recommendation of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, who was teaching this so kindly for our benefit. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, the purport of this verse is that one's heart and consciousness cannot be purified of material contamination merely by performing sacrifices or by yoga exercises. What to speak of trying to satisfy the material desires. It is only by association with unalloyed Vaishnava devotees of the Lord, ever free from conceit, pride, that these impurities of the heart may be totally eradicated. That means the devotees are very humble. The devotees feel very weak in this world and vulnerable. So therefore they will cry out piteously with full shelter at the lotus feet of these exalted personalities. Krishna, the killer of Baka. Bakasura is named because he is the demon who represents deceit. So lust comes in as if it is very, very nice and giving us something that will make us happy, but its purpose is to slit our throat and steal everything. So we should not be deceived. We have to be fixed in intelligence. Thank you very much. Any questions or comments?
So when there is certain lust already, then one can say, okay, I shouldn't feel this, I shouldn't do this. But then if one represses such a feeling, it may come back even more strong and it catches anyway.
So therefore there are different gradations and ways to live in Krishna consciousness. But even a doctor, when he has a disease, He doesn't prescribe for himself. He goes to another doctor. So we shouldn't prescribe for ourselves how to deal with these things. There are ways. Prabhupada gives the example in the purport that anger can be engaged like Hanuman, how he burnt down Lanka because he was so angry at this rascal Ravana for defying Ram. So there are ways to engage these things. Lust means desire. So our desires can be engaged in unlimited ways in Krishna consciousness. So there are ways to engage these things that will purify us. There are prescriptions for these things. If we try to repress, that is only good for a while. But param drisvanavartate, if we don't get a taste in Krishna consciousness, it will be very difficult for us, for sure. But yet, our intelligence should be made strong. How to practically apply this principle to an individual who's having trouble. Now we're speaking theory and what the philosophy is. But when we talk to individuals, we don't say, you must. We don't deal with individuals in that way. Rather, we know how difficult it is because of our training, our upbringing, the modes of material nature that affect us, being born in the West and everything like that. We become so easily victimized by these things. The devotees, I find, as Gopavindapal Prabhu was saying in his communication seminar, that we need affectionate dealings with the devotees. Otherwise, if we don't have affectionate dealings, with brahmacharis, with other brahmacharis, have deep friendships, etc., then just by nature, these desires they're forced to come out. So so we should be careful. Huh? Why is what?
Why, if we don't have affection?
Because we need affection in our lives. We're social by nature. And if we can't find affection in the dealings with the devotees, we'll be forced, because we're social by nature, to seek affection in dealings with non-devotees. We'll be forced. Because this is what Prabhupada told me. And he said, then if you associate with non-devotees, you will not be able to follow the rules and regulations. Because association acts on the heart like a crystal. Our great Acharya, Haranyakashipu, has said. So it is, we're speaking very strongly about fixing, the intelligence, etc. And these things are true. And the Bhagavatam, it fixes us in the mode of goodness, removing the lower modes of material nature from the heart. So there are prescriptions for that. Yet when we're dealing with individuals who are having trouble, and usually the rule, not the rule, but it's an exception that someone doesn't have any trouble in his whole Krishna conscious career at some time or another. It's very rare. Different devotees go through different things at different times of their lives, and they have to be dealt with understanding in these things. But still, we don't deviate from the philosophy. We still know that material life cannot satisfy us.
Like Krishna says in chapter 13, in the Sentence of Knowledge, that one of the sentences is aspiring to live in a solitary place.
Means away from materialistic people in our context. Because there's a story from the Bhagavatam that when there are two bangles together, there's always some jingling noise. So even amongst the devotees, when there are two people together, there's a tendency to jingle and talk nonsense. So if we want to avoid talking nonsense with anyone, we avoid having anyone around us. That's the only way to do it. So That's the recommendation, but it's not the recommendation for us exactly. Our recommendation is that we avoid association with non-devotees and associate with devotees. So that will be considered a solitary place because it's, there are no non-devotees there. That's the idea. Yeah.
And we understand this affection to be related to...
That what?
Affection.
Yeah.
To be related to so-called love or lust. What is the deal? Can you explain a little more the dealings of devotees with affection?
The need for affection is not just coming from the body. By nature, the soul's nature is that it wants to love Krishna. And because we are cut off from that, because of our envy, we are seeking that love in, with Krishna in the material world, in the perverted reflection, in a lusty way, not a loving way. So our relationships, they're actually endeavors to love Krishna, but we are looking in the wrong place for love, and in the wrong way. So in the dealings amongst the devotees, and Prabhupada said, we have to make friendships, deep friendships amongst the devotees. So how to keep a relationship with the devotees in a devotional way, I think maybe that's your question, and not have it descend to a material way. I think in one sense it's just sort of common sense, and we all really know the answer to that. We have to have affection for the devotees. Even though we can say it's material or sentimental, but we have to like them. The Nective Instruction gives guidelines for that, exchanges of love, but we don't have to mechanically follow guidelines. The point being that we have to have we have to like someone in this world. And if we don't like the devotees, and if the relationships are strained and tensed and fighting with the devotees, then we will be forced, because we will be forced to look otherwhere, to the non-devotees for social relationships.
Can you explain why those that go away from Krishna consciousness are most important?
Because if there's so many poor men in the world, there are, say, thousands, everyone in one village is poor, and they are living far away, and they are very, very poor, and they want money. And then some of them wander, somehow or another, by chance or good fortune or instruction or one thing or another, they wander to the door of a very wealthy man who's at his door, who is inside his house, giving out $1 million to everyone who walks through the door. Whoever walks through the door, they just get $1 million. So the people who walk through the door, walk up to the door and walk in, they are fortunate. And the people who are far away from the door somehow or another are unfortunate. But what about those who walk right up to the door, knock on the door, and they hear, come in, and they think about it, and they say, maybe, no, I don't really believe he's going to give me anything. I don't really think I should go in. Anyway, I hear my mother calling me. And they turn around at that point and walk away. So aren't they, in that sense, because they were so close, even more unfortunate than the others who are far away always? So in that sense, those who come to Krishna consciousness, to the door of Krishna Loka, and then turn around and go away, it is most unfortunate. Follow?
My father, sometimes we say that such as a devotee, they did so much to open so many temples or did so a lot of.
So they were 99% through the door, and then if they turn around, and they were so close. They were so dear to Prabhupada, and they still are dear to Prabhupada. But now they're so far away that it's hard for them to hear Prabhupada calling them. So isn't that unfortunate? So in that sense, of course they're more fortunate than the people who never met Prabhupada, etc. But in the sense that they were so close and they could have had everything and they turned around, and maybe we don't know when they'll come back. So in that sense, it's so unfortunate, and we cry for them. Any other questions? Yeah.
We know that by taking prasadam, this control the senses and automatically reduce or diminish lust. But can you explain that work like that? Does it work like that?
What?
That by taking prasadam, it controls the senses and lust is diminished.
The idea being that if you don't take prasadam, you're going to eat and you're eating sin. And you're getting further from Krishna with every bite. Right? So if you eat prasadam, you're not eating sin. There is no karma attached to it. And rather, on the other hand, you're being purified of material contamination. So then the question is, what happens if I eat spiritual food with material consciousness? Just... So it is better to eat spiritual food with material consciousness than material food with material consciousness, and often that's really our choice. I remember one devotee joined, and when you join the temple, everyone tells you, eat more, or when you're joining the temple, everyone tells you, eat more, eat more, eat more. Then when he joined, we told him to eat less, he was eating too much, and he got really angry. Said, you were telling me to eat more and more when I finally joined because I wanted to eat more. Now you're telling me to eat less. I feel cheated. So the idea being that as we become elevated in goodness, which is for our benefit, that we should temper our eating. Because if we eat too much, we will get sick and so many other things. But it is better to eat lots and lots and lots of prasadam than lots and lots of bhoga. I remember in the early days of the movement, it was so austere. I mean, now the movement is so wealthy compared to the early days. And during the week, we would eat so little, and the food didn't taste very good anyway. But then on Sunday, it was the one time of the week, there was a big feast and it was sense enjoyment, and we used to eat plates and plates of prasadam, plates and plates of prasadam, and we'd be so hungry for prasadam. I remember really in the early days, you'd be sitting because we were told we have to sit with the guests and preach to them. Right, so we'd be sitting there, you'd be preaching to some guest, and you're looking at their plate. Excuse me, are you going to eat that samosa? Really? Oh, you're not? Oh, really? Really? I don't know what the guest thought exactly. Yeah. And Prabhupada also said it's a kitchen religion. But we shouldn't eat more than required to keep body and soul together if we have that ability to control our tongue in that way. And if not, we should eat prasadam to our full satisfaction. Prabhupada liked to take prasadam. All the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would like to take prasadam nicely. Sumptuous prasadam. Yes. That is the kind of seva that everyone can relate to. Service. Prasad seva. Taking prasadam. Any other?
Yes, my dear.
Yeah.
Sometimes people they look up to us, or they, especially in that, for instance, sometimes in the Indian families, they know you follow the glory of the priestess, they're already very philosophical, actually. So then,
Prabhupada said that it's the trouble with you Western boys and girls is that you're not afraid of enough of Maya. So I think that's maybe healthy to feel like that, to live up to the expectations of the people who look up to you, and on the other hand, those who are depending upon you to live up to their expectations. You have children? No. So we have children also, and they look up to us, and the younger members of the devotee community and the guests, and there's people who depend on us also. So it's good that we fear this in this way, I think.
Nothing to do about it?
Yeah, you think that you're small, and you read the songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and you learn how to pray for strength, and you study Bhagavad Gita. Just not being fearful isn't the solution, but fear should push us to action. Taking shelter of Krishna, knowing what your weak points are and avoiding them, and keeping strong, keeping in the association of strong devotees, attending the programs, studying the books, eating prasadam, dancing in kirtan, being satisfied, having good relationships with the devotees, being satisfied in your life and Krishna consciousness. I mean, that uneasiness should lead us to strength. Okay, it's late. Thank you, Hare Krishna. Jai Shri Prabhupada. Yesterday, we finished the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. We could start chapter 4 and do a few verses, but that didn't seem like a good idea. And then, by the grace of Krishna, just as I was wondering what we should do in this class, I looked at my little calendar and I saw that at least in Vrindavan, according to Vrindavan's schedule, today is the cleaning of the Gundicha temple, which is very, very important. It comes right before Rath Yatra. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cleaned the Gundicha temple with all the devotees, the Gundicha temple is in Jagannath Puri, a few kilometers from the Jagannath temple in Puri. And that Gundicha temple is considered to be like Vrindavan. And Jagannath Puri, or the Jagannath Puri temple, is considered to be like Kurukshetra, where Lord Krishna met the residents of Vrindavan after many, many, many years. He hadn't seen them for years after he left Vrindavan. So finally, after so many years, Krishna on his chariot, surrounded by so many military soldiers, he met the simple residents of Vrindavan. And the residents of Vrindavan, especially the gopis, and especially Srimati Radharani, they said that these nights, this night that we are with you in Kurukshetra, is the same season in which we were with you in Vrindavan, and you are the same Krishna, and we are the same people. But yet, because you are in great opulence as a king, the king of Dwarka now, and you are, and this is not Vrindavan, still, even though we are the same, we long to see you in Vrindavan. And therefore, the gopis desire to take Krishna back to Vrindavan. And that celebration of taking Krishna back to Vrindavan is the Jagannath festival. And that's just how Lord Chaitanya saw it. Krishna coming home to Vrindavan to be with the residents of Vrindavan who love him in a mood that no one else has. So the Gundicha temple is considered to be Vrindavan. And the Lord goes on the Rath Yatra card with Balaram and Subhadra, and he goes to the Gundicha temple, and that is Vrindavan. Before Krishna was brought to this Gundicha temple, Lord Chaitanya cleaned the temple very carefully with all his devotees. And he was teaching them